ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ, मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us.
We had discussed about the important role rituals and symbols play in religious life, but especially in the path of devotion, bhakti yoga. Now the point comes, towards which end all these have to be directed, because if we do not have a single goal, these very rituals can become distractions for us. Rituals produce tremendous amount of energy. Rituals are also great time savers. Why? Because rituals are sanctified habits, habits directed towards God. Let us recall the definition of a ritual: any action that reminds us of God, that becomes sacred to us, that alone deserves to be called a ritual. Though in ordinary language we call many things as rituals, morning rituals, man goes out for an exercise. It is a habit, it is not a ritual. The meaning of the word is degraded here. But if he is going to remember God, then that becomes a ritual. So here comes a very important part, to which direction, which goal should we direct all these rituals, all these symbols. There are various types of symbols of which we had discussed. A symbol by itself doesn't mean anything. It always is something which points out to something beyond itself. And what is that beyond? Only God. Nothing but God. So that is what we have to keep always in mind. So if we have to direct all our energies towards something, it must be only one thing. Because in any field, whether it is economic field, political field, or religious field, the secret of success is that we must have tremendous concentration, power of concentration. It should be directed towards only one. This is called in religious language the chosen ideal, Ishtanishta. And every religion, without exception, always emphasizes on this. Ishtanishta, tremendous, unwavering, one-pointed devotion towards one ideal. Ishta means we like, we choose. Obviously, it means that particular manifestation of the divine, form of the God, name of the God. That should be our Ishta. Now, here is the Ishta. We choose always many things. When I was in Bangalore, a good person, devotee, is to come. So, what are you thinking now? Swamiji, the other. I went to see this Ramayana. My whole mind is going towards Rama only. Okay, very good. Hold on to it. After a few months, Mahabharata was being telecast. Now, Swamiji, oh, this Krishna is the greatest incarnation of God. My mind somehow is attracted. I don't want anything else. I want to offer myself heart and soul to Krishna. said, very fine. After some time, he saw the film Santoshima. Then he said, oh, I cannot describe the glory of Santoshima. She has fulfilled so many of my desires. You know, any cinema that he is seeing, he is transforming his devotion to God. So this kind of thing is absolutely condemned. So every religion insists on ishta nishta. How do we know what is our ishta? Usually it is determined. Our purva janma samskara, we are born from our past lives with certain tendencies. It also is determined by the family tradition. If we are coming from a particular family tradition, then that usually we develop love for it. Then also there is what is called guru's direction. Many times the guru only confirms what we have already been doing. See, if any person is coming from a family worshipping, say, Divine Mother, the mantra, the ishta will be of the Divine Mother, or of Rama, or of Krishna, usually. But exceptions are made. How are they made? Because the guru, a great guru, I'm not talking about ordinary people, is capable of looking into the minds of the devotees, see what is good for the future. Nowadays, you know, there are various psychological tests. It's called determining the aptitude of a candidate if he goes for interview. My God, what type of terminology they have evolved. I heard the other day one new word. Somebody advised one of the known people to network with other people. He said, network with other people? That means what? The person is supposed to carry a big net and then go on putting on everybody. And another book by an American author. It's a wonderful book. It's how much time people are wasting to find jobs. It is even more time they spend than actually getting any job done. Just searching for jobs. And the person who wants to search for jobs, that person has to learn this lingo. It's called corporate lingo. And then otherwise this networking is one of those corporate lingo. It's mind boggling. I'm happy with what I know. I do not need to go into all those things. Working for Ramakrishna is the easiest thing in this world. You just need to know only one lingo, a little name of, and that is it. It will save you. A guru also sees what is the determination of the person, past samskara, and he might change. Usually that's what also happens. So this is how we come to know who is our ishta. It's absolutely necessary. If we study the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, and he is the, always keep this in mind, he is the greatest interpreter of the Hindu scriptures, and also other scriptures by implication. The purpose is always taken for granted, reinterpretation of the scriptures. Now, scriptures contain two types of truths. One is eternal truths. God exists, this is his nature, and God realization is the only goal of life, etc. That is common to all religions. No religion ever quarrels with any other religion. With regard to the existence of God, with regard even to the methods that have to be adopted to realize God at a higher level. But scriptures also contain what you call non-eternal, ephemeral truths. Means, while trying to practice religion, which is spiritual practice actually, we have to take the language, the local conditions, the nature of the person, the nature of the society into consideration. And the stage at which we start our spiritual practice also counts. Now that is where things are very temporary. What is good for one person may not be good for the other. what is good for one person at some point of time may not be good for the same person. I will give an example. There was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. His name was Swami Abhedananda. At some point, he was meditating on a personal God. And he was developing so fast, he had lots of visions of God. And one day, he had a tremendous experience. And then all the gods and goddesses, it seems, merged in that in a great light. The man was very much delighted, came to Sri Ramakrishna and told him, this is what I had experienced. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna told him that from now onwards, you will not have any visions of God. You will have only bhava. You will have what is called the impersonal aspect of God. I do not know whether it is foretelling the events that have to take place. Because in his life, some event happened which changed the whole tenor of his life. You know, once Swami Vivekananda was meditating, he felt a tremendous power in himself. So he wanted to test whether it was his imagination or actually the power was with him. Because unfortunately for him, or we don't know fate, Swami Abhedananda, he was sitting by his side and meditating. So Swamiji turned to him and said, just touch me. And he also touched his thigh. Immediately he felt an electric shock. Sri Ramakrishna was very ill at that time at Kasipur. So he could not, Swami Abhedananda, Kali Maharaj at that time, he could not hold his hand touching Swami Vivekananda as though touching a live electric wire. But that itself was not the event, real event. Then he, both of them sat. That day, the depth of meditation Swami Abhedananda had experienced, he said, never before had I experienced such depth. The event passed, got up from meditation, and immediately somebody came and said to Swami Vivekananda, Sri Ramakrishna is asking for you. Narendranath went upstairs, got a thorough scolding from Sri Ramakrishna and said, what is this? You have practically destroyed this boy. He had been growing up in a particular way and now you have induced your own special mentality into him. What was that mentality? Swami Vivekananda used to practice non-dualism, Advaita Vedanta. Whereas Swami Abhedananda used to meditate on a form of God. He was a bhakta, so to speak. Now what happened, that in Sri Ramakrishna's words, it is as it were, an 8-month fetus has been forcibly expelled and some other small infant had been put in its place. And he scolded and said, it is fortunate that I am still alive, otherwise you would have this boy's life would have been completely destroyed. And it was seen for several months. This Swami Abhedananda had tremendous problem in spiritual practice. Why? Because he was accustomed to do things in one particular way. Now as though he has taken a completely new way. Sri Ramakrishna's greatness, you know, now he can't undo what had been done. Probably he could have done, but in any case he didn't do it. He guided very gently, you are making this mistake, you are making this mistake, etc. One such mistake was this. You know, Swami Abhedananda once went and then started catching fish in the Ganges. And Sri Ramakrishna called him, what are you doing? He said, I am catching fish. Said, don't you feel ashamed that you are just catching a live fish with this? Now, what happens to you if a hook is put in your, you know, throat? And somebody dangles it. Swami Abhedananda said, what is there? Everything is Brahman. Brahman is catching Brahman. What is wrong there? Sri Ramakrishna said, that is not correct. A person who sees Brahman, he will never harm other person. He will only love the person. Why? Because we love ourselves And if we come to see everyone as manifestation of ourselves, then there is nobody will harm the other because it is harming ourselves. So, how much moral practice is to be done before one even goes into this practice of non-dualism, or even the path of devotion for that matter of fact, which we will come very shortly. So, sometimes choosing a wrong ideal, a wrong path can delay. Nothing can, of course, prevent us from realizing God, but it can be, we might suffer a lot. Without the guidance of a guru, people could suffer tremendous lot. As it has been found out, many Christian saints, they suffered a lot. Why? Because there was no guru to guide them. So the guru not only gives an ideal, but he also sees the disciple doesn't stray from that ideal. Now in this connection, devotion to one particular idea, whether it is economics or politics or art or religion or spirituality, one has to devote oneself with one-pointedness. Then only some amount of success is possible. Why is this? Devote ourselves to several things. The first point why we cannot do it is, what is the secret of greatness? Power of concentration. What is concentration? Putting the mind only on one idea. If we go on changing one idea every minute to the other idea, then we will be only wasted. So that is the first. Second, most of us, we have not been given any infinite amount of either time, even our time, our energy, our opportunity, they are all extremely limited. How much limited do we know? Supposing the question is, now how old are you now?
Let us say 40.
Average 40, 50 years. How much time do you think you are going to live? I will say probably another 25, 30 years. We can expect reasonably. So how much time do you have for spiritual practice? Of course, 25 years, 30 years. Absolutely wrong. Time is going in sleep. How much time is going, you know, in eating, cooking, bathing, cleaning? How much time is going on in cell phone talking? How much time is going on in various distractions? Just to be, even to be kept alive, a lot of time, is energy is going away. And then there are other things, you know. So many events can happen. If it is too hot, you cannot meditate. If it is too cold, you cannot meditate. And even if a mosquito is buzzing around, you cannot meditate. You know, so much is, opportunities are very rare. So that is, then how much energy, how do you know that your energy will be the same? If you are very healthy, you know, after 50, we go downhill. So, how much time really we have in the sense of energy, time and opportunity within these 25 years? Hardly, if it is 6 months or 4 months time we have, utilize that time properly, we are. So that is why we have devotion to the chosen ideal. So much of difference. Why does one religionist wants to convert people to his own religion? Is it Ishtanishta or is it a wrong understanding? Ishtanishta, by the very word, it is like rationality. What is rationality? To be reasonable, to think clearly, rationally, reasonably, in a calm and quiet mood, that is called rationality. The problem with rationality is, every person thinks he alone is rational, everybody else is irrational. So why don't you see my point of view? How much more stupid can people be? A small child, he had done thrown something there on the floor. Don't you see you are making the house dirty? Don't you see? How does a child of 3-4 years old see? We grown up think that the child sees, understands things exactly like we understand things. Wife went to a party for a few years. And the husband is asked how his married life. So, what a terrible thing. My wife never agrees with whatever I say, even though we are married 6 years. Immediately the wife said, you are wrong. It is not 6 years, it is 7 years. Irrationality. He had termed this, our age, the age of irrationality, age of unreason. It seems absolutely true. How do we know? The act of reason or reason is always good. That's fine. It is the age of irrationality that brings wars, restlessness, competition, destruction, killing. Anything that is harm done is because of irrationality. So every religion has this emphasis. You must turn all your attention to God. That is fine. But it is only the Vedas which discovered long back that there is another side to Isthanishta. What is it? Give complete freedom to everybody. By the very word Isthanishta means, I have my own chosen ideal. Therefore, by implication, you also have your own chosen ideal. Everyone else has his or her own chosen ideal. But great mystics all over the world, they always said, yes, that is true. All the time, that everybody has complete freedom to think of God in his or her own way. It is only those who do not practice any spiritual disciplines. They have all the time in the world to quarrel with others. Now, coming back, I said that the purpose of an incarnation is always to reinterpret the scriptures. So what does he do? He brings out the salient points of the particular scriptures and he practices it in his own life. And he influences other people so that others also can follow the same way. The interpretation. In this age, Sri Ramakrishna is considered as the greatest incarnation. He reinterpreted the scriptures. And gospel is that reinterpretation. Just as Upanishads are the reinterpretation of all the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita is the reinterpretation of the Upanishads, and Gospel of Ramakrishna is the interpretation of Bhagavad Gita and by implication the Upanishads, by implication the Vedas. So in the Vedas, it has been discovered that all our attention should be focused on God alone. What is the essence of a scripture? God exists. Turn your attention to God. That is the essence of it. This was what Swami Vivekananda expressed in his inimitable way, the essence of Vedanta. Each soul is potentially divine. Therefore, the goal of life is to manifest this potential divinity. If we do not do that, then our life will be vain. We live in vain. So, Sri Ramakrishna reinterpreted. But many people do not understand what are the important points. There are 5 important points of reinterpretation in Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. What is that? One religion and one scripture and one chosen ideal, chosen deity, one guru.
and one mantra. Five. What are they? One religion, one scripture, one aspect of God, one guru, and one mantra. These are the five things. Do they smack of fanaticism? Is what every religion is telling. Our religion is supreme. Our scripture is the only scripture. And our God, concept of God is the only concept. And we are the greatest, we are the only gurus in the world. And whatever we say, that is the mantra. No. What did Sri Ramakrishna preach? All religions are valid. All scriptures are valid. And all gurus are great people. All mantras lead to the same goal. But what did he say? Without Ishtanishta. He emphasized it so much. In the gospel we have several references. Without that tremendous focus on one's chosen ideal, to the extent I will illustrate, it is not possible to progress in spiritual life. So we have to take for granted two things. You go on focusing on your own idea, at the same time respect every spiritual, as sincere spiritual aspirant, every prophet, every scripture, everything else. But haan ji karte rahiye, baithiye apne tham, respect. But you will have to follow your very own path as directed by your guru. You know, Sri Ramakrishna used to give several illustrations. I'll give you three illustrations. One was, of course, the most famous one, belonged to Hanuman. You know, it's a wonderful story. Rama went to fight with Ravana. The truth is one, but our sages call the truth by various names. It is that one singular point which was being emphasized by the Upanishad, the Rishis, by Sri Krishna and by Rama, by all great incarnations of God, and that is what Sri Ramakrishna has done. So, there is this, in the Ramayana, there is this story. Rama was fighting Ravana, then he needed the help of his vahana, vehicle, called Garuda at one point. So, he remembered Garuda, and immediately Garuda came, and problem was solved, then Garuda wanted to have darshan of the Lord before going by. But the chosen deity or form of Garuda was Vishnu, Mahavishnu. But here was Sri Rama. He knew that the Lord Vishnu only incarnated as Sri Rama. But he was fidgeting. So immediately Rama assumed the form of Mahavishnu with four hands and all that. And Garuda was very pleased. But meanwhile Hanuman, who was by his side, he was fidgeting. Because his chosen deity was Sri Rama. Means form. He knew, he also knew. Sri Rama and Vishnu, they are the same. But he was fidgeting. So Garuda praised the Lord and disappeared. Then Mahavishnu again, or Sri Rama, retaken his old form of Sri Rama. Then Sri Rama was supposed to have asked, don't worry about this story. These are only pegs to teach us these wonderful truths. Hanuman, you know that I am Vishnu, I am Sri Rama. Why were you so much fidgeting? Then from the mouth of Hanuman came a most beautiful verse. Somebody must have composed it, put it in the mouth of Hanuman. Srinadhe Janaki Nadhe Abhedaha Paramatmani Tathapi Mama Sarvasvaha Ramaha Kamala Lochanaha. I know the Lord of Lakshmi, which is Vishnu, and the Lord of Sita, which is Sri Rama, is absolutely one and the same. Even though it is true, I would like to see my lotus eyed Rama only. This was Sri Ramakrishna who used to quote this one and say, that is the kind of nishtha one must have. Take first example. There is also further story, you know. Hanuman is called Chiranjeevi. He is even now living. He is not dead. With the physical form, though it is hidden. So this Hanuman can be found by devotees. Even now they can have a vision of him. Vyasa, Hanuman, Vibhishana, etc. Some people are called a long-lived people. So, long after Sri Rama disappeared, Lord was reincarnated as Sri Krishna. So, once Hanuman, you know, he also felt like visiting Krishna. He came to
Dwaraka. Immediately Sri Krishna called Rukmini and said that you assume the form of Sita, I will assume the form of Sri Rama, otherwise Hanuman will not be happy. So they entertained him at that point, and then he was very happy, he went away. The second example Sri Ramakrishna gives is that of gopis. You know how much gopis loved Sri Krishna? So now Sri Krishna left them permanently. He became, as it were, a kingmaker in Mathura, and once the gopis decided to visit him. So they went there, somehow by bribing the doorkeepers and all that. So somehow these gopikas bribed the doorkeepers, went, and what was their shock? What they came to see their beloved Gopi Krishna. But what was this man doing? He put on a crown, he was sitting on a throne, and he said, whom have we come to see? This is a Parapurusha, you know, he is a strange man, this is not our beloved. Immediately they covered their faces, everything, and ran away. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell this, to mention, even though it was Krishna, but not their Krishna. Their Krishna is only Gopi Krishna, that without crown, without these kingly, costly robes and all those things. What a marvelous example of Ishtanishtha, even though he is not none other than Sri Krishna, but only that aspect of Krishna with whom they were familiar. In a way, that's also very important for most of us. Because supposing somebody is very restless person and he becomes a devotee of the Divine Mother, then he should have a correct concept of the Divine Mother. But suppose somebody is like a child's nature, like a baby, always dependent upon mother. But that person also is a devotee of the Divine Mother. Then what type of the Divine Mother is Nishtha? Like a mother who looks after the baby. So that is how, depending upon our psychological types, we have to forge our relationship with God, which we will come in course of time. There are five such relationships, possible relationships, with infinite variations still among themselves. Panchabhava, Vaishnavas, Panchabhava. Okay. Another, third example, again Sri Ramakrishna points out in the Gospel is, you know, Radha. Radha is the chief gopi. Why? She was the queen of the gopis. Why? A gopi means an individual soul who has turned all the devotion towards God. This Radha, that she was the supreme, because not even an iota of deviation. Her whole soul, 365 days and year, 24 hours a day, it is turned only towards Krishna. She doesn't know anything other than Krishna. So intense was her devotion. But it is an ideal. These are not, you should not think there is a person like that. There might have been, because like Sri Ramakrishna is one such manifestation of Radha. Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is as though Radha had re-embodied herself in that particular form. So, once it so happened, you know, Sri Krishna had gone to visit another gopi at night, and Radha was suffering from the pangs of separation, and she was in a very peaked, as it were. Peaked. So some other her friends asked, Radha, you love Krishna? Yes. So Krishna is very happy with Chandravali. So why are you so much peaked? That Radha said, don't misunderstand me. I am not peaked because Krishna has gone to Chandravali's house. If Krishna is happy, I am very happy. I am peaked because what does Chandravali know how to take care of Krishna? So you see, she was, others were thinking, because Krishna hadn't come to her, she was feeling jealous. No, she was not feeling jealous, she was feeling unhappy, because she is always thinking, how can I make my beloved very happy person? If other people do not know how to make him happy, then I will be unhappy. Where was her mind? What are we thinking of? What are what was Radha thinking of. About, this is the truth about all great souls. What was Sri Ramakrishna thinking of? And what do we think about him seeing certain actions? So this is an example of Ishtanishta. But Ishtanishta also at the same time must have that generosity, that rationality, that everyone is calling on my own beloved in their own way, in his or her own way. That is part of the Ishtanishta. That is the true ideal of the path of devotion. Otherwise, what does it lead to? Fanaticism. That is the trouble with all of us. It is peculiar. People have peculiar ideas. So, the ideal of chosen deity combined with that truth that everyone is calling upon the same divine Lord and have the equal devotion to every religion, every prophet, every saint. That is one of the must. Now, what happens nowadays? People's minds are so restless. They go for few days to this ashrama, few days to the other ashrama. They are always seeking, you know. They get bored with one guru. So they go to the other guru. And of course they get, because the getting bored has become a habit now. So they go to some other guru, some other center, some other instruction, go on moving. This is what I call in harsh language, spiritual prostitution. Ishtanishta, ekanishta must be there all the time. Swami Vivekananda has dealt with the subject so beautifully. His words are so beautiful. Says, the next thing to be considered is what we know as Ishtanishta. One who aspires to be a bhakta, devotee, must know that so many opinions are so many ways. This was literal translation of Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. Jyoto mot toto pot. Now, opinions here do not mean irrational opinions. We go on changing our opinions at every opportunity. That's not really what is meant here. Ishtanishta is my opinion. Your Ishtanishta is your opinion. You think this is my way. Or you have been told this is your way. I have been told this is my way. We must stick to our own. Do not go on changing our opinions. So a bhakta must know that so many opinions are so many ways. He must know that all the various sects or the various religions are the various manifestations of the glory of the same Lord. They call you by so many names. They divide you as it were by different names. Yet in each one of these names is to be found your omnipotence. You reach the worshipper through all of these. Neither is there any special time. So long as the soul has intense love for you, you are so easy of approach. It is my misfortune that I cannot love you. This is a famous quotation from Sri Chaitanya's Sikshastaka. And each and every name, you have put all your power. And there is no set times or conditions. So vast is thy mercy. How huge then is my misfortune, wretchedness, that I have not acquired devotion to thy name. This was what exactly Sri Ramakrishna was telling in so many, with so many analogies. There is a small pond. It has got four ghats. And the Hindus come and say, call that jal. And the Muslims come and say, pani. And Englishmen come and take the same water and call it water. Somebody else comes, it is aqua. All these, they are by different names of the same substance. This is one of the things Sri Ramakrishna used to emphasize so much. That as the substance hasn't changed, it's only the various names. Why are we quarreling so much about these names? Not only that, the bhakta must take care not to hate, nor even to criticize those radiant sons of light who are the founders of various sects. He must not even hear them spoken ill of. Not to speak of criticizing. What a wonderful thing Swami Vivekananda is telling. Suppose somebody criticizes Jesus Christ. What should you do? You should not even listen to it. Or Prophet Muhammad. Or Gautama Buddha. Or any other great soul. Yeah. You know, I have learned a great lesson. We are instinctively, somehow we degrade. Supposing, you know, someone, a follower of Sai Baba or follower of Amritarandamayi, contemporary saints, they come. Somehow we think they are not great saints. I am not saying they are great or not great. What I am saying is, in the eyes of the followers of them, they are the greatest. Just as we look upon Sri Ramakrishna, they look upon them. And they have every right to do so. If that helps them progress in spiritual life, what is your headache? So we must always respect. I remember an incident, you know. Swami Yatishwaranandaji was at Bangalore. And there was a great soul in South India called Swami Ramdas. There is an Anandashrama. So once this Swami came to Bangalore Ashrama, our temple, with his devotees, just to pay his respects to Thakur. So Swami Yatishwaranandaji was sitting in the veranda of his room, which is a little distance away from the temple. But he has seen Swami Ramdas coming with his followers. And you know what? Swami Yatishwaranandaji stood up, great humility. And until this Swami Ramdas left the premises, he kept on standing there. That was a great lesson we had to learn. Because you see, we don't know whether he was a great man or not a great man. We have no direct contact except in reading the books. But in the eyes of his followers, he was like God. As we consider Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, they consider Mata Krishnabai and Swami Ramdas in that light. So to show respect to other saints and to others, Sri Ramakrishna's life is full of these illustrations. One Christian came, Williams. Sri Ramakrishna stood up and shook hands with him. And when Sikhs came, he used to talk highly of Guru Nanak. When Muslims used to come, he used to talk of their religion. Sri Ramakrishna went and did namaz. Did you know that? Even now that mosque is there near Dakshineswar. He had no problem. We have the problem. You know, there was two devotees one devotee and one admirer of Sri Ramakrishna. Keshav Chandra Sen was his admirer. And Vijay Krishna Goswami was his devotee. And there was a big quarrel between them. So to such an extent that they would not even speak with each other. So one day, unfortunately, it so happened they had to meet on a boat. But they were sitting, you know, with their long-drawn faces. Because Sri Ramakrishna was sitting there, both of us to sit. Then Sri Ramakrishna told a story. You know, Rama is the guru of Shiva. And Shiva is the guru of Rama. And they had some difference of opinion. They had a quarrel. But being Rama and Shiva, very soon they made up their quarrel. But the followers of Rama and the followers of Shiva, the monkeys and the demons, their quarrel never came to an end. So, even a bhakta should not hear them spoken in love. Very few indeed are those who are at once the possessors of an extensive sympathy and power of appreciation, as well as an intensity of love. Yet we know that it is practicable to educate large numbers of human beings into the ideal of a wonderful blending of both the width and the intensity of love. And the way to do that is by this path of the Ishtanishtha, steadfast devotion to the chosen ideal. Bhakti Yoga, therefore, lays on us the imperative command not to hate or deny any one of the various paths that lead to salvation. Yet, the growing plant must be hedged round to protect it until it has grown into a tree. Another important aspect of the devotion to chosen ideal is, do you know what it is? We are human beings. So even with regard to God, though we say that, oh God, you are a God and we are helpless, ordinary beings, we demand things. Who can demand, tell me? A master can demand, hey, fellow, bring tea. But a servant cannot demand to the master, hey, you come and bring me tea or coffee, is it not? He should remain a servant. But in practice, what do we do? You must do this to me, otherwise I will not even care to think about it. So what I am referring to is part of this devotion to the Ishta, to the chosen ideal is, whatever the chosen ideal wills, must be accepted in totality. We have no right to question, why did you do this? I only depended upon you. And is this the result of my devotion to you? That should never be. Otherwise, it is not Ishtanishta. Oh, anyway, I tested you. But you did not stand up to my test. So, I am going to choose somebody else. that doesn't work. Sri Ramakrishna used to illustrate, you know, a man had built a house and a big storm came. And you see, he was a devotee of, you know, Hanuman. So he started praying. The house was about to be falling down. Oh, Hanumanji, Hanumanji, I am your greatest devotee. Please protect the house. But unfortunately, the wind did not stop. And so he thought Hanuman is useless. And he called Sri Rama. Ramji, Ramji, you know Hanumanji is your servant, that I am the devotee of Hanuman. Please protect my house. But Ramji also did not listen to this. Ultimately, the wind came and the storm came and broke down his. So he's telling, this is Hanumanji's house, please do not destroy it. It is Rama's house, please do not destroy it. And when nothing worked, it is Shala's house. Shaitan's house. Because it was not saved. Many of our devotion seems to be, if our desires are not fulfilled, or if we undergo certain amount of suffering, we seem to develop terrible doubts about our God. Whereas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshastaka is telling, O Lord, I have dedicated myself to you. Whether you love me, whether you bestow your grace upon me, or whether you choose to make chutney of me under your feet, you alone will remain my chosen ideal. I am not going to leave you. You may leave me, but I am not going to leave you. That is called real Ishtanishtha. So at the same time, Swami Vivekananda is telling that Ishtanishtha is all right. It is very necessary, but it is necessary not to be too liberal. It's all right, every religion is fine, every deity is fine, every path is fine, every scripture is fine, every guru is fine, every mantra is fine. But we must hedge around, means what? The tree must allow to grow. This is illustrated so beautifully in our one of our Panchatantra stories, you know. A man had a monkey, and the monkey was a great friend of his, always moving with the man. And the man had a garden, small, he planted some seeds, and the seeds became small plants, they were growing up, and suddenly he had to go away. So he called the monkey and said, see, look here, they will die without water. So you take care that they have sufficient water. And then he went away. The monkey promised, yes, I will do that. So he brought water, watered. How does it know that the plant has sufficient? So it pulled it out, looked at the roots, and then put it down. Every day, 3-4 times, it is pulling it out and then putting back. When the man came back after a few days, so all the plants were completely dead. So what is the moral of this story? That we should not go on changing whether this is being effective. Rama is looking after me, or Ramakrishna is looking after me, and all those things. We must have that Ishtanishtha, otherwise progress will be stopped. The tender plant of spirituality will die if exposed too early to the action of a constant change of ideas and ideals. Many people, in the name of what may be called religious liberalism, may be seen feeding their idle curiosity with a continuous succession of different ideals. With them, hearing new things grows into a kind of disease, a sort of religious drink mania. They want to hear new things just by way of getting a temporary nervous excitement, what they call, you know, kick. And when one such exciting influence has had its effect on them, they are ready for another. Religion with these people is a sort of intellectual opium eating, and there it ends. There is another sort of man, says Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna, who is like the pearl oyster of this story. Do you know that? There is a pearl oyster, it makes pearls. So this oyster, in Sri Ramakrishna's words, waits for a drop of rain when the star Swati is in ascendancy. As soon as it gets, immediately it goes down into the depths of the ocean and will not come out until the pearl is perfectly formed. So there is a beautiful song. Dubu, 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 roop shagare amarman. So dive deep, O mind, into the ocean of the beauty of the Lord. This meaning, Ishtanishtha, once you get from the Guru, our good luck is really in there, and when the Guru whispers that Mahamantra into the ears, That is the raindrop. Then close yourself, dive deep into sadhana until the pearl is formed. What is the pearl? God realization. Do not come out. Do not be distracted. That is the meaning of dive deep. That's what Sri Ramakrishna had done throughout his life. Whatever path he followed, he never allowed. Just as an example, when he was practicing the Islam under the direction of Sufi Saint Govinda, he removed all the pictures of Hindu gods and goddesses. He never visited the temple of the Divine Mother. Even a thought of the Divine Mother did not cross his mind. He had that power to empty his mind of everything else. He even wanted to eat Muslim food, biryani and all those things. You see, he was a very scientific man. Completely, whatever his guru said, he will do 100% with nishtha. That's why he could accomplish things so quickly. So this ekanishtha, or devotion to one ideal, is absolutely necessary for the beginner in the practice of religious devotion. He must say with Hanuman in the Ramayana, "Though I know that the Lord of Sri and the Lord of Janaki are both manifestations of the same Supreme Being, yet my all in all is the lotus eyed Rama." Then, if the devotional aspirant is sincere, out of this little seed will come a gigantic tree like the Indian banyan, sending out branch after branch and root after root to all sides till it covers the entire field of religion. Thus will the true devotee realize that he who was his own ideal in life is worshipped in all ideals, by all sects, under all names and through all forms. So, in the path of bhakti or devotion, that the ideal of a chosen deity, as determined by our guru, is a must. All the rituals, all the pujas, all the symbolism, everything has to be directed towards the Lord. But at the same time, we must not forget, the spiritual progress is like a three-dimensional progress. We grow, our soul grows, and God comes near, but at the same time, the world also comes near to us. We become identified with God and the world at the same time. So, one of the problems that comes is, some people are very good in meditation, in prayer, etc., but they are extremely selfish when they come out into the world. And if that is not looked after properly, combated, the problem, it's going to be a big problem, because there is no inner growth, there is no outer growth. Both growths will stop for a selfish person. So, that is why every religion says purity of the heart, both inner and outer conduct. So, at the same time we have the devotion to the chosen deity, at the same time we must also have a kind of outlook, kind of behavior with the external world. And that is what in the next chapter Swami Vivekananda is going to discuss, taking the cue from Sri Ramanujacharya. He was, you know, as he was the greatest exponent of devotion in modern times. The method and the means. There are, in brief, there are 7 such methods. We will discuss in our next class. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.